David, tell me about the Railway Children.
Railway Children is an international charity. It's based here in the UK in Sandbach, but it works internationally. It started its work from what was seen in India. It has a branch of the charity there and also in Africa, in East Africa. Basically, it is trying to support and protect runaway children and street children who live on railway stations and bus stations around the world. The main purpose is to make early intervention when the kids first run away or are first abandoned before the wrong people get hold of them and exploit and abuse them.
And how long has the charity been running?
Since 1995 it's been running, although the idea for it started on a visit I made to India in 1989. I was passing through India, having done some consultancy work for railway safety in Australia. And my family had supported a girl through Save the Children. She lived in Mumbai. I went to visit. And on the way at one of the big railway stations, I was accosted by a little girl who came out of the crowds, morning rush hour. She can't have been more than 6 or 7 years of age. Filthy, dirty, begging. I had no loose change, so I waved her away. She produced a whip behind her back, started lashing herself. And I realised, like, you know, she was being exploited by some adult, told her what to do in the hope gullible tourists like me would give her money. I went on my way. That haunted me. And, if I shut my eyes now, I can still see her looking at me. And I started talking to my colleagues in the railway industry. I started exploring what other organisations did, got involved with Amnesty International, became their children's rights network, involved very much with street children. And then they had an invitation from a group of charities who were coming together to work together, all of whom worked for street kids. And they were looking to somewhere where they could raise their voices and make people more aware, contact governments and so forth. And they asked for Amnesty Centre rep, so I went along. I did a risk assessment there of being a street child and passed it around the other members of the consortium and said, what's your intervention strategy? Drew a little tree, the roots were the causes, the branches were the consequences. And it came back and big ones like Save the Children and UNICEF were working on the roots, the causes in the slums and so on. Amnesty was working on the branches, trying to get justice for the kids after they'd been abused. Nobody was working on the trunk. Those first few minutes when a child has run away or been abandoned and is in great fear, is very vulnerable, picked up by the wrong people, where do you find them? In the transport systems, yeah, as they come to the big cities. So in India, Eastern Asia, Eastern Europe, it's a railway station, Africa, Latin America, bus station.
Mm. This work is very, very important, but it's almost like this problem's never really going to go away, is it?
Well, our objective at Railway Children is to make ourselves redundant. No hope of that in this generation. Many years ago, when I was working with the consortium, I went out and discussed it with the UNICEF in New York, and they estimated 100 million street kids in the world. Okay, that includes kids who are still at home, come onto the street during the day. There's probably 20% probably of those 100 million are actually have no adult care and on the street all the time.
Yeah.
India has the largest number. When we started in India, I think the government estimated between 12 and 18 million.
Wow.
Well, the kids don't stand long enough to get counted. But,
yeah,
but of those, as I say, probably 10 to 20% are full-time on the street. And some of the biggest stations in India, Delhi, Mumbai, Calcutta, there were 300 to 400 kids floating around the station. Some are the new arrivals. They're the most vulnerable ones. There's some who've been on the station, who've got used to it and now earning some money in one way or another, legal or not. There are others where the whole family is on the station. They're begging. There are others I call the commuter kids who come in from the slums and spend all day there trying to earn some money and go back. But Railway Children is aiming to help those that have just arrived and worked with partner organisations. So we have a drop-in centre on the station. We have it manned round the clock by a charity, or in India now we've got the railway police, women police do it on work with us. we have a night, as I say, a night shelter where they can come. We have a grandma type in charge who's trying to get their confidence and find out why they're there. Then we're trying to sort out long term, what can we do with these kids? Initially, we've just got to protect them. Some are just lost. So we see if we can get them back home first, if it's not an abusive situation. Then we see if we can get them into education or into a resident home. Very often these days has to be a government home because there are just too many for the number of charities. So we do a lot of work actually in India training the staff at the government homes. One of our trustees in our India one is a former board member of the Indian Railways. So we've got close relationship with the railways now to try and deliver what we do there. And we decided pretty early on we can't just do it for India. We can't ignore the problem on our own railway stations. I remember when I was involved with safety on BR, I did a lot of work in dealings with the transport police, and they introduced me to two Salvation Army officers who were going around the big London stations in the 1980s and 1990s looking for kids at risk. These two women had picked up 3,500 kids on their London stations in a 10-year period. That's an average of one a night. And they told me that a youngster, young teenager of an evening, had on average between 10 and 20 minutes before they'd be approached. And so we had to get there beforehand. That, the UK work has grown enormously. We did a lot of work initially, back in 1995, 6, 7. Then because the railways did a lot of work to tighten up control of the stations, putting in police, barrier control, CCTV and so forth, the kids seemed to disappear. During COVID, we found that the BT police were picking up kids again. And last year, I'm told they picked up 10,000 children on our UK stations.
Wow.
Manchester Piccadilly was number one hotspot. But the police gave us the sort of 10 major stations, Manchester, Leeds, Liverpool, Birmingham, places like Doncaster. And we started to run a training course called UCWC. We got the railways to have champions who would then pass the message on, debrief further to the people who work with them. Basically, it was helping them to recognise when kids were in trouble, how to approach them, how to get their confidence, what to say, what not to say, and then who to refer them to. And then working with the police, we appointed counsellors, professional counsellors, working for us. And we started with three based in Manchester Piccadilly, who covered the northwest. Then three for Leeds, who covered the northeast. Three Birmingham, three London, and a couple of weeks ago, three in Glasgow. So that's significant there. In Africa, we worked initially in Kenya, Tanzania. A few years ago, the United Nations had a proposal from the Consortium for Street Children to develop guidelines for governments on supporting street kids and rehabilitating them, providing a proper budget for it and the rest. And the United Nations accepted this as a program, unfortunately not compulsory, as guidelines for government. And one of the countries that is trying to achieve those guidelines is Tanzania. And they knew the railway children were working on this early intervention, and they came to us and said, would we work with them? There are six major cities to try and cover the problem. We had funding from Department for International Development here and USAID to actually do that on a national basis, and we've continued doing it.
I mean, funding is obviously a big issue because, I mean, just covering the UK alone must cost a lot of money, so then to include other countries as well, you must be constantly on the lookout for the best ways to raise funds.
I was a senior manager in the railway industry, and it started very much as a railway industry charity. For instance, we've for about the last 10, 12 years, we've had an annual ball for the railway industry. We had one last week at the O2 International Hotel. 1,400 people came, £500,000. We've raised over the years probably somewhere between 2, 3, 5 million, that sort of range area. Half of it comes from people, companies and events within the railway industry. Of course, they're finding it harder at the moment. It's, you know, with COVID and so forth, they're all struggling financially. But the railway is doing our best to back us still, despite this. About a quarter of our income has come from grants, children in need, sport relief, They've helped us particularly in early years in India, now more often in Africa. And the rest comes from general fundraising from here. I still do a lot of talks. I do a lot of book writing on railway book. And, you know, I don't get the royalties go to the charity. And then I do a lot of talks with churches, schools, rotary clubs, all the usual women's institutes and so on. And others do. We have a lot of fundraising online. That's something I can't do. And a clue on that, but we have some good social media people. More and more is done on that these days.
Yeah.
So we've withstood the COVID period pretty well. A lot of charities have very hard time. We didn't go down. We didn't grow as we'd hoped to grow. And I think we've held that position since in the current financial climate.
Yeah, I mean, this is the problem. I mean, we've talked to a lot of charities, and they're all saying the same thing. COVID was the first blow.
Yeah.
Cost of living crisis is now the second, and they were so close together.
Yeah.
And a lot of charities can't survive that.
Yeah. We have survived well, and a lot of that is because of the huge support we have within the railway industry.
If anybody wanted to help the charity, either fundraising or helping to raise funds or donating,
yeah,
what's the best way of getting in touch?
Best way to get in touch is to contact the office here. The Railway Children Office, there is a website, which is www.railwaychildren.org.uk, or a telephone number, which is 012 70 75 75 96. There's always somebody here. As you see, it's fairly empty at the moment because a lot of people work from home, have since COVID, but we always have it manned here.